This podcast is called The Real Story About Chronic Pelvic Pain Syndromes. The following talk is about the Wise-Anderson Protocol with your host, Dr. David Wise, co-author of A Headache in the Pelvis. Dr. Wise developed the Wise-Anderson Protocol with Stanford urologist Dr. Rodney Anderson. He has been treating pelvic pain in a specialized group for over 20 years.
Pelvic pain as frozen vigilance. In other talks, I've discussed how if you've never suffered from pelvic floor pain, then it's very difficult to understand it. Indeed, it's difficult to understand what pelvic floor pain is, why it occurs, why it continues, and what to do about it. This difficulty in understanding is found both among friends, family, and loved ones, and, unfortunately, among many doctors and healthcare providers who most pelvic pain patients go to see. It is difficult in the sufferer, him or herself, to understand what's going on. There are no conventional methods for visualizing, fluid testing pelvic pain. There's no clinical way to detect it except through the complaints of the sufferer. As a result, doctors might say things that range from, this is all in your head, this is a problem you're having because of an infection, this is an inflammatory problem, an autoimmune disorder, a trapped nerve, or a variety of other scary and mysterious concepts that don't properly capture the nature of the illness and really offer no solution. For doctors addressing chronic pelvic pain syndrome of the kind that we treat, when you can't see it and can't detect it in any other way, then you have to create a concept and project the concept of the disorder onto the patient. What you do is you treat your concept of the problem. This is important to understand. Clearly, if your concept is incorrect, then the treatment won't work. In my view, a wrong concept throughout the world is projected on pelvic pain sufferers. In other words, hardly anyone understands this problem or how to resolve it. This is not news to those who suffer from pelvic pain. Here I want to share my understanding of the problem and its solution. I've come to see pelvic floor pain as what can be called a disorder of frozen vigilance. Other than pelvic pain that is triggered by an injury or surgery or other pelvic insult, the vast majority of the several thousand patients we have seen over the past 26 or so years is pain that is the final stage in a process of chronic worry and fear that manifests itself in the pelvis of the chronic worrier. Chronic worrying, which results in the protective and dysfunctional tightening up of the pelvis over a period of years. In a word, pelvic floor pain that is muscular in nature is the physical result of a psychological defense mechanism. It is the body's way of keeping ready to defend itself from the slings and arrows of life. This chronic physical tightening doesn't help anything. This chronic physical tightening is a primitive response that offers little except suffering. Nevertheless, it's what must be dealt with. When the body tightens up protectively, it typically does it in different places in different people. This is why the consequences of self-protective guarding can show up in a range of what are called functional disorders, from chronic headache, chronic shoulder or neck pain, low back pain, irritable bowel syndrome, non-cardiac chest pain, hypertension. I see all of these conditions as having to do with the body responding to a chronically aroused nervous system. Simply said, a nervous system that is worrying about survival most of the time. Like a small child walking with his mother, when the mother meets a stranger, the child becomes frightened and furiously grabs the mother's leg. The child clings to the mother's leg, looking for protection behind her. But when there isn't a mother's leg to grab, as we grow up and face the world ourselves without anyone's immediate protection, the body instead can tighten defensively in the freeze part of what Walter Cannon called the fight, flight, freeze response, squeezing itself to hide and protect itself. Most men we have seen have been diagnosed or treated as if they have a prostate infection, having had courses of antibiotics. In our experience, almost all men we have seen over the years diagnosed with prostatitis have no prostate infection. Berger and his associates in the University of Washington performed prostate evaluations of patients with chronic pelvic pain who had been diagnosed with prostatitis. In 95% of patients, they found that neither the prostatic tissue or fluid was any different from people who did not experience pelvic pain. Similarly, when I was at Stanford working with people suffering from pelvic pain, the patients with no evidence of inflammation in and around the prostate gland tended to experience more severe symptoms than those who actually did have inflammation. White cells in the urine of men is a marker of prostate inflammation, but one study of men diagnosed with prostatitis for pelvic floor pain found that those who had no symptoms had a larger number of white cells in the urine than men who were symptomatic. The connection between pelvic floor pain and inflammation generally is not valid. This brings us back to chronic tightening of the body and the consequences over time of this chronic tightening. There are many healthy and normal reasons to tighten the pelvic floor. You have to do this to lift, or when you hold in urine, or when you defecate, or during the act of sex. And after the pelvic muscles do whatever they're supposed to do for these functions, they go back and relax. However, for people with chronic pelvic pain, there is little relaxation after pelvic tightening because the muscles have been chronically tightened for a long time and unfortunately have little ability to relax. When I was non-symptomatic early in my life, I noticed from time to time that my pelvic floor was tightened. I didn't have any pain or symptoms, and it didn't mean anything to me at the time, but I just remember noticing it. I believe that this is what happens in the beginning for the large majority of people with pelvic floor pain. In response to the stresses of life, the pelvic floor muscles tighten up. And in a certain group of people where the worry and stress is rarely, if ever, resolved, those muscles remain tightened. And the body doesn't return to the feeling of being safe, protected, and unguarded as the pelvic muscles don't relax. When a person is chronically guarded, constantly tense or anxious or worried, then the tightened pelvic floor becomes an expression of vigilance and defensiveness. As the muscles of the pelvic floor remain chronically tightened over time, that becomes normal at a certain point, and I believe it can happen after many decades. The pelvic muscles just don't untighten, and all kinds of odd symptoms occur. These symptoms include urinary frequency and urgency and hesitancy, sitting pain, post-bowel movement pain, pain with sex, abdominal pain, and other symptoms. Not every symptom happens for every person who has pelvic pain, which leaves patients with a seemingly disconnected collection of pains and discomforts. Typically, though, not always, pain is more on one side than the other. There's pain in different places, from the area above the pubic bone and bladder to the genitals, the perineum between the genitals and the anus, between the anus and the tailbone, the low back, the groin, the top part of the legs, the lower sides of the body above the pelvis. All these areas can become symptomatic. And what's baffling is that sometimes symptoms migrate and change. Even more frustrating and hugely important for a correct diagnosis, the source and location of the symptoms is rarely the source and the place where the symptoms are felt. Symptoms originate in and around the pelvic floor from little knots in muscles called trigger points. Trigger points are the heart of the tightened muscles, and they famously refer sensation to other places in the body. What this means is that when you feel discomfort and symptoms, they can originate from somewhere else than from the place in which they are felt. As a result, if treatment focuses on one area where you're feeling pain, you might never really get to the root of the problem because you're not treating the source of the problem. Among the most horrific stories we've heard is from one of our patients who went to see a doctor for testicular pain, and the doctor decided to remove one of the testicles. When the removal of the testicle didn't help, the doctor removed the other one. The pain still didn't go away. Why? Because the source of the pain was never in the testicle. The problem was inside the pelvic floor, in the quadratus lumborum, and in other places outside the pelvic floor that referred down into the testicles. Frozen vigilance means that the nervous system remains fearful, and the person who has pelvic pain rarely, if ever, feels safe or secure. This fearfulness causes defensive protective tightening, and once this becomes chronic, the trigger points refer symptoms of pain and discomfort to places other than where the trigger points are located. If you want to address the pain and discomfort, you must therefore address the frozen vigilance. Dealing with frozen vigilance is a deep problem, but it's a problem that can be worked with and in many cases resolved. However, it requires a huge commitment from the patient. It is not amenable to the normal remedies of conventional medicine involving medication, surgeries, and procedures, because there are no medications, there are no surgeries or procedures that resolve pelvic floor pain. Frustratingly, these interventions can complicate and often aggravate the problem of pelvic pain. Rather than helping, these efforts can make the problem worse. If you understand pelvic floor pain as frozen vigilance, you'll come to understand, as I have, that the treatment for pelvic pain must be both physical and mental, behavioral, psychological, and that ultimately the solution to pelvic floor pain has to do with ceasing to be chronically afraid. And that requires you to convince your nervous system to stop being in a chronically frozen and aroused state. How do you do that? The Wise Anderson Protocol, which is now, by the way, in a home program that doesn't require coming to see us, this protocol is devoted both to loosening the chronically guarded muscles and trigger points underlying them, and to shifting the nervous system arousal to a state in which someone can regularly have periods of feeling safe and unafraid. Of course, life is full of stresses, and we experience regular anxiety in our daily activities all the time. However, if there is no moment where the nervous system can quiet down and move from this what's called sympathetic nervous system arousal, which is when the nervous system is in its fight, flight, freeze, alert mode, to what is called the parasympathetic autonomic nervous system mode, which you could call the relaxation response, then the pelvic floor will never have an opportunity to rest, recuperate, and heal unless it regularly can quiet down. Our book, A Headache in the Pelvis, describes our methodology to help recover from chronic pelvic tightening and nervous system arousal. Many of my talks also describe the different aspects of our program. What is required, however, is a very focused time every day to loosen the muscles in and around the pelvic floor and calm the chronically aroused nervous system to dissolve the chronic vigilance. This is not a small thing, but when you're motivated enough, it's possible to do this. I hope this discussion is helpful for you.
For more information, go to our website, www.pelvicpainhelp.com.